Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Boy, we want to figure out how to stand out in this world today, how to be different from other people, and that was happening in Paul's day as
yes.
well. Certainly at the Church of Corinth, they wanted to be standout people. There were folks coming in claiming to be super apostles, trying to distinguish themselves over and above what Paul had brought to the table as far as the gospel message was concerned. There were divisions within the body of Christ at Corinth. And it all got down to this: how can we stand out? How can I stand out and look to be better and superior to those around me? That's kind of a worldly attitude. That's what we see out there in the world today. Yeah. And all of us have experienced that to some degree or another. And I love how Paul just attacks it and just does away with it in his letter to the Corinthians. And it really gets down to our theme for the month, and that is sanctification. And that word sanctification means simply this: to be set apart so that we can function according to our original design. So God created us to live in dependence upon Him.
Yes.
When sin entered the world, it severed that relationship. Mm-hmm. We took an independent route, but in reality, we just lived in bondage to sin and death. And then Christ redeemed us. Christ set us apart so that we could once again live in dependence upon God, so that we could once again walk in truth and walk in love. That's what that word sanctification is all about. So Paul uses it as kind of an exclamation point to an argument that he is presenting as far as true wisdom and true power.
Yes.
Starts in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So right here in this opening statement that Paul makes, we see that he's going to talk about power, and he's going to talk about wisdom. The world has an understanding as to what power is, and the world has an understanding as to what wisdom is. But all of those pale in comparison to true wisdom that comes from God and true power that resides in God.
Yes.
So it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. So where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. In other words, we can't know God through our human wisdom.
No.
We can't know him through human intellect. I said in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, when we try to come up with a vision of what God's like, we end up with a Picasso painting. It is just filled with all sorts of distortions. That's what our human wisdom comes up with. So we have to have wisdom from God to really see what God is all about. But it pleased God that through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. So Paul brings his argument down to Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is the power of God, and Jesus is the wisdom of God. So in his power, he saves sinners. He raises dead people back to life. In his wisdom, he becomes for us all those things that we would like to accomplish through human effort but can't.
Yes.
He becomes our righteousness. He becomes our sanctification. He becomes our redemption. You know, the wealthiest of the wealthy would love to be able to pay money in order to buy eternal life, but they don't have enough money. Christ became our redemption for us. He was the price that needed to be paid. What a lot of folks are trying to set themselves apart, leave a lasting, enduring legacy, and they're doing it by big buildings with their names up on top of it. They're doing all sorts of stuff so they will be remembered beyond their life. They want to be set apart as someone special. And all of that's going to fade away, but only in Christ can we truly be set apart on an eternal scope. And then righteousness. Boy, we want to justify ourselves. We want people to look at us as someone special. You know, we're doing good. We're doing right. We're honorable men of integrity, people of integrity. But we're flawed people, aren't we? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no way that we can earn a right standing before God. So God in his wisdom sent Christ, who became for us righteousness. And that's how Paul ends this argument in 1 Corinthians in verse 30 of chapter 1. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If you want to be a standout person in this world, get to know Jesus. Because in Jesus, he will set you apart to be what God actually created you to be. And that's going to be a lasting legacy because it's attached to an eternal person, Jesus himself.
Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Plenty of open lines available right now, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. Wanted to tell our listeners about a wonderful resource that we have available, and it really does address that question of how to be a standout person in this world today. The title of the resource, it's a CD series called Against the Current. So if we're going to live as believers in this world, we're going to swim upstream. We're going to travel a path against the currents of the world. But if we will simply abide in Christ, if we will simply trust him and allow him to live his life through us, that is what's going to make us stand out as the people that we are, that God has created us to be, through faith in Christ. So we want to put that in your hands. It's a resource, Against the Current, available to you for a gift of $20 or more to Basic Gospel. All the information about that is on our homepage at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. So if you want to be a standout person, I encourage you to take a look at this resource, get it, listen to it, and then pass it on to your friends. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742. Call right now if you have a question, any life issue that you would like to get answers from the Word of God. We would love to fill those on today's broadcast. So let's start today in New Orleans, Louisiana, and talk with our friend Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear y'all voice. I finally found y'all again. But I got one question since I'm on the phone. But everybody's doing well. Bob Fisible, Bob Davis, and
everybody's doing well, my friend. And we sure like you because you've got the right name.
Okay. It's a great name.
Yes, yes.
Credit to me, though. Galatians 3:14.
Okay.
That verse says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of that scripture? I think I got the meaning of it, but I want to hear your view on that.
Well, God had promised the Holy Spirit. You know, there was the prophecy of Joel that that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, today this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, what was it? It was God pouring out his Spirit on mankind. Well, on the day of Pentecost, it was simply being poured out on the Jews. It was the Jews that were gathered. It was the Jews that heard Peter stand up and say, this Jesus whom you've crucified and God raised from the dead is both Lord and God, and through faith in him, you can receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they believed, and God poured out the Spirit on the Jews. So the Spirit of God took up residence in the hearts of men on that particular day. Well, God had intended for that same gift to be given to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles as well.
Yes.
And so in the book of Acts, we see that happening. Acts chapter 8, we see the Spirit being poured out on the Samaritan people. And then in Acts chapter 10, we see the Spirit of God being poured out on Gentiles as Peter proclaimed the message to Cornelius and his household. So this blessing of God, this promise of God, is received by faith in Jesus Christ, and it is a promise to both Jew and to Gentile. So God has always had the entire world in mind when he gave the promise to Abraham back in Genesis 12 and then in Genesis 15. The promise was that Abraham was going to be a blessing to the entire world, to all nations. And Christ is that blessing, and anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved and will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Robert?
That makes sense. That's just what I thought, but I just wanted to hear. And also, I lost y'all, but I had found Andrew Farley, and I come to find out he's a friend of y'all.
He is a friend, and he'll be on our broadcast tomorrow, so tune in and listen.
Okay. Okay, all right, then. I found him, and I was like, okay, I want to be on Baptist, and then I talked to somebody and said, yeah, they're friends. I said, okay.
Yeah. I'm glad you found where we are, and you know, for your efforts, I want to put you on hold and send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hang on the line, Robert. So glad to hear from you. Keep listening and call anytime, okay?
Okay, and I'm looking forward to another conference.
Well, we will have one soon, my friend, and we will keep you posted on the details, okay?
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, great to hear from you. It's good to hear from old friends.
It is. Indeed it is. I love what he brings up there in that passage in Galatians 3. We read just the conclusion of it. But what Paul was doing there was contrasting blessings and curses. And the curse was what Jesus suffered. He was hung on a tree, and that was a horrible, horrible thing under the Mosaic covenant. And because he got that, he accepted that curse and suffered and died and then was raised again, that's why he redeemed us from the curse of the law, so we don't have to face it. That's why we get the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Nothing in any of these promises is ever done apart from Jesus.
Yes.
He's the one who lived and suffered and died and rose again, and because of that, we are the ones who are blessed in him.
Right.
It's only in him.
Right. And I think what you're talking about is very important, because, you know, we're often afraid that based on our performance, based on our behavior, mm-hmm. that we're either going to bring down curses upon us or we're going to bring down blessings. Mm-hmm. God never works in that way. That was more of an Old Testament, Old Covenant, Mosaic covenant reality. Deuteronomy 28 listed the blessings and curses, and two-thirds of the chapter were curses and one-third was blessings.
Yeah.
But that covenant had language, if then, if you obey these statutes, then. Mm-hmm. So it was on the shoulders of the people to live up to those righteous standards. They didn't do it, so curses befell them. But as far as real curses, You know, the law is a shadow. It was a shadow of the real curse of sin and death to which we were all under. We came into this world under a curse. And so Christ became a curse for us. Anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed, as the Old Testament said. Jesus became that curse so that we could receive the ultimate blessing, the gift of God's Spirit and life everlasting. That's what this gospel is all about. That's why it is such wonderful, marvelous, shout from the rooftops news. And boy, if more and more people would just grab a hold of the gravity of it and the wonder and joy of it, then we would really have something to share with this world out there that desperately needs the joy and wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Nick, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Well, every time I come into Judges and read the book of Judges, I always question Judges 19 and what the takeaway is supposed to be there.
Well, Nick, I'm right there with you. It's a crazy chapter, isn't it?
Yeah,
so we have this Levite guy who takes himself a concubine, and, you know, there's all kinds of story around that, and the father of the concubine decides, you know, to save his life and to save the guy's life, that he's going to put her out to be raped and all sorts of things by the tribe of Benjamin, the men of Benjamin, and then the guy that took the concubine takes her and cuts her into all these pieces, and folks say, has anybody ever seen anything like that ever happen? But
the answer is no.
No. And then later on, we see God takes care of that whole deal and judges the tribe of Benjamin and almost totally wipes them out for the evil that they participated in this particular story. And I think it just shows us what humanity is really like apart from God. I mean, apart from a saving knowledge of God, a genuine relationship with God, the hearts of men are always evil. And we see these things. And so God is constantly intervening and sending judgments against that evil. And in so doing, you know, when we read the Old Testament, he's trying to protect that bloodline of Israel so that Jesus could come into the world and that we could actually have some hope. So a lot of these stories, as crazy and wacko as they seem, and you wonder about, I think you have to kind of nestle them into a bigger purpose that God promised to bring Jesus into the world. And he promised to do so through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
And he actually did it through all the craziness that they brought to the table, that he achieved his purposes in spite of the people of Israel. That gives us hope, knowing that he can achieve his purposes in us, despite the nature of our flesh and all the things that we bring to the table. So that's how I look at a chapter like Judges 19.
That's definitely a good perspective.
Well, I hope that helps. And you know, when you go back into that Old Testament and read some of those stories, you just scratch your head and just wonder, what in the world is this all about? And I think that's why so many people, you know, try to separate the God of the Old Testament from the God of the New Testament, try to look at them as two different people. But when we do that, I think that's when our minds get really messed up. We have to realize that the world was evil. Sin brought evil into this world, and men's hearts were always leaning toward evil. But God was always leaning toward good and was always going to bring good out of this evil that was happening. And that good was ultimately Jesus. And in Jesus, good can ultimately be our life story as well. Not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is in us.
Absolutely. I just every time I read the Bible, I know that it's supposed to be God's word. I think the best perspective I heard from it was it's not meant to be a painting to look at, but a window to look through. So we're supposed to, you know, read the Bible as, you know, a living document that would transfer over into our lives. And so just every time I come across that chapter, it always just kind of hits me, like, how am I supposed to take this? And so I definitely appreciate your perspective.
Well, I'm glad you called, and that's a good question. It really is. And I said, I think all of those types of questions about those crazy stories in the Old Testament have to be looked at through the window of God's plan of salvation in Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, we sure appreciate your call, my friend.
Get it.
Okay, you call anytime.
Yeah, one of the things that, and it may sound a little strange to say it this way, but one of the things that has given me comfort as I've read the Bible is that it's not written like a novel full of heroes that never do anything wrong. This is written about people just like me, messy, ugly, sinful people who sometimes respond to God and sometimes they don't, and God works in spite of that.
Right.
And if it was just good news, I would question the whole thing.
Yes.
But there are people in here who make terrible decisions and behave terribly, and yet God is more sovereign than even they could
yes.
have imagined.
Yes.
And Jesus wins.
Yeah. Well, and the main character of the Bible is God. It really
yeah.
is his story. Mm-hmm. And, man, he allowed a lot of messiness in his story, but he comes out the victor.
Yeah.
And all glory goes to him in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to Valerie, who's listening to us on the Word in Fort Worth. Hi, Valerie. Welcome to Basic
Hello.
Gospel.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of ask, like, kind of two questions, and then my phone's almost to go out, so I'm going to hang up and just listen to you on the
okay.
radio. Number one is, if I go to a home church, like they have service in a home, should I pay my tithes to that storehouse, to that home? And the other one is, it's really hard when you want to be a, like a woman of God, or you want to be an evangelist, and you love church, you love God, you love the Word, you love reading. That's the most important thing, reading the Word. And you have these different churches that have different beliefs. One believes that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they stopped working when John
right,
left.
Right. Well, Valerie, let me jump in. We're about out of time
okay.
on the broadcast. But first, I want to say when you say love, that you love the church, what that means is that you love the people of God, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. That group of people make up the church, the body of Christ. And there's local manifestations of that body of Christ all around the world. And those local manifestations can be in home groups. They can be in larger settings, in denominational settings. But the people who are gathered together who really have come to faith in Jesus Christ, have been born again, make up the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. Now, as far as where to give, Valerie, there's a lot. I'm going to put you on hold and send you some resources. But we're called to excel in the grace of giving. And so I think we give based on God's work inside of us, the Spirit's work inside of us, to those places that are advancing the genuine, original good news of Jesus Christ, lifting him up and pointing people to this new covenant that we live in today. Well, Valerie, we're out of time. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some resources. You hang on. Thanks for your great call, okay? Well, this is Basic Gospel. This edition went so fast.
Yes.
But we covered some very critical issues. You know, what does make us stand out? You know, so many people are looking at their church attendance, their giving record, and all of those sort of things. Paul cuts through all of that and says, no, it is Jesus. And that's who we want to lift up through this program, and we thank so many who support to enable it. Well, we'll be back tomorrow for another edition. We'll see you then.